It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I love this film. I think it's great. Great director, a completely mad film, iconic performances, and the legacy of Point Break is still felt now. Like, there'd be no Hot Fuzz without Point Break, and it's great.
It's iconic, isn't it? I would say Point Break. It's definitely, again, one of the top 50 films you have to watch. And when people say, I like Fast and Furious or whatever, I'm like, you should probably check out the original. When young boys watch this, they're like, we want to be Bodhi. I want to learn how to surf. I want to be that cool. Mum, get some lemon in my hair. Let's get some dye going.
Hello, everybody. Today we are recording with Rich.
Hello.
Dave.
Hello.
And as always, Kobe.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about Point Break. Thank you, as always, to the mighty people for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher. Hello, film fans. Welcome to this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast. Joining us remotely, we have Rich and Dave. If you could please say hello to our listeners and tell them a little bit more about who you are and what you do, please.
Hello, my name is Dave. I'm one half of the duo of Unequal Sequel, where we get guests and ask them for their best sequel, worst sequel, and then finally their dream sequel. Basically, we just talk sequels and then we once in a while go off and talk about other movies. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And we delve into sequel reviews as well on our Friday extra shows.
There's no shortage of sequels, is there? It's not going to dry up.
You say that, but in March there's none.
What?
The Batman scared everyone off.
Don't believe you. There must be a sequel somewhere to something.
The link we've got is Catherine Tate's Nan movie is coming out.
Yikes.
Has she had a film before?
No, but it's kind of a sequel to the series. We're really, you know, dragging the bottom of the barrel here.
Yeah, there's there'll be a lot of scrapey noise on that one.
Are you not classing the Batman as a sequel, or what is a sequel for you? Actually, that's an interesting question. And using the Batman as a counterpoint to that,
we've talked about it, haven't we, Dave, about the Batman.
The Batman,
yeah. The Batman is the start of a new timeline, a new Batman franchise. It's got no characters from a previous film coming back, so it's a whole new entity. So we're saying that's a first, but we want to talk about the Batman, so we might say, hey, it's a Batman film, it's kind of a sequel. So we might end up talking about it, but yeah, it's not a sequel.
When we were trying to get tickets to the screener, then we were all in for it being a sequel. And now that they cancelled our tickets, it's not a sequel anymore. So, you know, it doesn't matter.
How did they cancel your tickets?
Oh, you know, when you just apply, you're like, two please, and then
yeah,
you wait
then they send you an email back going, sorry.
Okay. I didn't know that. I thought they tend to give you tickets and then that's it. So you just hadn't heard back. Anyway, this is inside of baseball stuff. Rich, who are you?
Oh, well, I'm the other host of Unequal Sequel. And all of what Dave said, essentially, although in our dynamic, Dave does really all of the work and I just turn up and talk rubbish. So, yeah, that's my role.
You chose the film today, which is Point Break. Can you tell us, first of all, why you chose it? And then you have 60 seconds to tell us the synopsis.
I mostly chose it because someone else had picked Tick, Tick, Boom. So that was out. But yeah, very much a seminal movie for me, Point Break. And I really like the Fast and Furious franchise, and I don't think that would exist without Point Break. I think it owes a lot to Point Break. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a really good movie. So, and it still stands up for me.
Okay, 60 seconds starts now.
Okay, so Keanu Reeves plays Johnny Utah, who is the worst FBI agent in history. he infiltrates a gang of bank robbers who rob banks dressed in masks of ex-presidents. His partner, who's played by Nick Nolte, Gary Busey, sorry. I always get those two mixed up. It's really annoying. Yeah. Gary Busey, before like going crazy, spots that they've got tan lines, so therefore they must be surfers. And Johnny infiltrates their gang, ends up becoming infatuated with a Patrick Swayze character, and then has to battle with his conscience, whether he should arrest them, whether he should be friends with them, and action and adventure ensue. Look at that for timing.
Also romance there as well.
Yeah, yeah. Laurie Petty. A childhood memory for me.
Well, she's still around. She's in Orange is the New Black.
She was, yeah. Very much more tank girl in Orange is the New Black than this character.
So Laurie Petty is one of the ones, what actors have got such a distinctive voice that they pierce through. And I was like, that's Laurie Petty. Even though I hadn't seen this for ages and I forgot that I knew that that character was in it. I was like, did they copy that character and make her into Trinity in the Matrix, or what happened there? But her voice is like super strong. Like in Ghostbusters Afterlife, there's Annie Potts is in it, and you hear her voice before you see her face, and she's got one of the best kind of actor voices. I love her voice so much from Ghostbusters, but when you heard her on the screen, I was like, I know exactly who that is. And Laurie Petty has that same kind of voice as well. But she kind of leans into it more nowadays, I think. She's got more of that. She really leans into her voice a bit more in Orange is the New Black. But I don't know where I was going with this, guys. but she's really, I thought she was really cool in this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Laurie Petty in this movie essentially set me up for a teenage time of loving girls with pixie cuts, basically. That was my... I don't know if it was my cinema awakening, but yeah, certainly some sort of teenage awakening. But yeah, I mean, it's so well cast, this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Swayze's just ultimate cool, isn't he?
Mm.
This is peak Patrick Swayze. I think when young boys watch this, they're like, we want to be Bodhi. I want to learn how to surf. I want to be that cool. Mum, get some lemon in my hair. let's get some dye going.
Because he auditioned to be, Patrick Swayze auditioned to be Johnny Utah. And I don't know if he got turned out, but then he got the Bodhi character, which is the right choice for him, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
I know that that Keanu was like fifth choice. I think they had Johnny Depp. He turned it down. Val Kilmer turned it down. Matthew Broderick turned it down. Charlie Sheen turned it down.
He always gets people's leftovers, doesn't he? And makes them into Matrix.
I'm glad they all turned it down, because I absolutely love Keanu Reeves in this. I love everything about it. I love the slightly wooden, confused performance that he puts in. And I love the way that he looks at Patrick Swayze. And I love the way that he beats up one of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Anthony Kiedis.
Yeah, wearing his wetsuit. And yeah, I just love watching this. Made me remember how much I loved Keanu back then.
Mm.
So I love this film. I think it's great. A great director, a completely mad film, iconic performances, and the legacy of Point Break is still felt now. Like, there'd be no Hot Fuzz without Point Break, and it's great. Thanks for picking it.
I'd like to stick on some of the cast a bit. We've had
Dr. Cox.
yeah. Dr. Cox playing Dr. Cox.
Yeah, as he does in every film. Well, Patrick Swayze, because he's maybe the top Flixwatch actor. This is
Roadhouse.
Film number three?
This is film number four. So Roadhouse, Dirty Dancing, Ghost.
Ghost.
This. So for me...
All crackers. For me, crackers.
I really want someone to pick Donnie Darko when or wherever this comes on, because that'll be the Patrick Swayze top five there. I'm not sure if there's another film you need to watch for Patrick Swayze, but Dirty Dancing is amazing. The Ghost is brilliant. Roadhouse is fantastic. this is just astonishing. Like literally, he was doing the skydiving.
He does. Do you know what I mean? All his own stunts. He broke four ribs learning to surf. You know, and yeah, he does all the. He did 55 skydives for this movie, having never skydived before. Apparently, there's like skydiving instructors like he's a natural. It's like just.
Oh, he would be.
He would be, wouldn't he? Yeah, but yeah, I can't think of anyone better.
No, I mean, watching those scenes based on the fact you knew it was him skydiving, it's such a difference between the camera on Patrick Swayze and him doing the flips and the stuff, and then the camera like zoomed like super tight on Keanu Reeves' face with a hairdryer. It's kind of like, oh mate, could you not try to kill yourself and throw yourself out of the plane a few times? But it's so good Swayze in this. Was he nominated for any awards for this? Was it?
I don't think so. Well. It didn't do as well as it should have done, Point Break, did it? Because it came out the same week
as films.
Came out the same week as Terminator 2 Judgment Day. That must have been a very awkward conversation in that house, because at that point, James Cameron and Catherine Bigelow are married and both their movies are coming out on the same week.
That wasn't a good idea.
There's also this quite interesting thing, I think, as well, where James Cameron claims to have rewritten Point Break and Catherine Bigelow claims that's nonsense. So I don't know what kind of dynamic they've got going on there, but I wouldn't have wanted to been in their house and...
Not very friendly. That's really tough, isn't it? Yeah, so I'm just going to put my release of my film onto the same day as yours. Is that okay?
Don't know if it's linked, but they divorced in 1991.
When did the marriage start crumbling?
I mean, they're both great films. You wouldn't want to live without the other one. But also, that's did Terminator 2 suffer as a result? I don't know. Probably not.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because we say it's an action film, but the action that's in it doesn't kind of like necessarily represent that much what it's about, because it's kind of about bank robbing, but we don't really see that much bank robbing happening. There's a lot of like jumping out of planes, but that doesn't really happen until sort of the end. And then there's quite a bit of surfing, but then that's not kind of like action with like guns and macho kind of action. Like surfing probably in the 90s was still very kind of like, hey dude, kind of like hippie-ish, not like, yeah man with the guns. So
when has surfing ever been yeah man with the guns?
It hasn't, but you know, it was still kind of like seen as a bit like soft and hippie-ish.
Yeah
and it was very much like a subculture. It's never really been like mainstream. So and then you know, there's romance in it, but not the kind of romance that they want you to believe. So I don't know how it kind of fits in the 90s. I think watching it now, it kind of fits a lot more in cinema than maybe in the 90s when it was trying to be up there with the boys, but maybe it's not quite that kind of film.
I think it's better now than it was then. I think it's grown now. But you're right. The real romance is between Johnny and Bodhi, isn't it? You know, that's the real romance in this movie.
Yeah.
Was it unrequited?
I don't think it is. I think Bodhi loves Johnny too. You can tell that at the end, can't you? You know, I think that last scene that's supposed to be in Australia, but it's clearly like, Oregon or something. Which I should also mention in that last scene, there's an Australian surfer that sort of says, "Don't go out there, mate. It's dangerous," or whatever he says. That's that guy who plays Trevor in Baywatch. Dave and I used to do a podcast about Baywatch a long time ago, and as soon as Trevor, I was like, "It's Trevor! It's Trevor from Baywatch."
Basically, Baywatch is in the season one that no one ever watched or remembers. He was
the one with Erica Leniak in it.
Yes, that season.
Yeah,
he's a cocky Australian who works at the country club next door, who eventually becomes part of the team.
And there's a bit of a cult hero for us because in his last episode, he's refused a sandwich and then disappears, never comes back again.
Never mentioned.
We always just wonder, never mentioned, never appears again. Just, sorry, no sandwich, bye. Off you go. Anyway, sorry, that's a complete digression from Point Break.
Back to Point Break. Yeah, Dr. Cox. Yeah. I love John C. McGinley, and it is because of Scrubs. But it's great to see him anytime. because he had all these kind of bit part character roles and he made them his own each time in this, in like Platoon.
Seven.
And, but it was, it goes to show that things like Scrubs is where he is sealed, is his character. Office Space as well. Yeah. He's played great characters, played in lots of films, but he just still didn't break through. And it's kind of interesting, all that talent there.
I mean, very much a Dr. Cox character in this movie as well. Like very much the kind of angry man. It was like very, very angry police officer instead of very angry doctor.
And he has some of the best lines, doesn't he? He has the young, dumb and full of cum line, which is...
Early in there,
gets it in. I was like, oh, whoa, this, I hadn't seen this for a while. I was like, oh, is it that early in the film?
Yeah.
Well done.
I mean, some of the dialogue is great, bizarre. I love the deducing about their surfers with their tan lines. Just... It just kind of occupies like a very special space in 90s.
He did say it was films. A theory, I guess. Let's test the theory.
And then the bits where they go around cutting bits of hair off the surface to see if it's like a match to the chemicals in the water is just like...
I love that.
I have a problem with that.
With the computer graph that brings up the follicles and the chemicals, it's just like, oh yeah. I love watching computer animations from the 90s.
I do have a problem with that storyline because at the beginning, we haven't mentioned Gary Busey, who's so good in this film as well. He's like peak Gary
Busey's good in this, yeah.
His meatball sandwiches.
But he when he's talking about the people who are doing the bank robbery, he's got such high, like, he's saying they're so geniuses, they're so clever, they've never been caught, they're the best bank robbers in the world. And their first instincts is to go for the four most stupid surfers they see. And they're like, that's definitely them. It's definitely them. And they've just met these other four Patrick Swayze smarter surfers, but they completely ignore them and go for the idiots. That's the only problem I've got with the whole film.
The fog of romance, the fog of love.
And then turns out that one of them's Steven Soderbergh undercover.
Oh, is it?
He's uncredited. Steven Soderbergh is the undercover officer in the four stupid drug dealing
surfers.
Tom Sizemore.
Your name today is actually...
Oh, God. It's been a long day. It's been a very long day. Dave always keeps all this... Whenever we record and I say something stupid, Dave always keeps it in. And whenever he says something stupid, he always cuts it out.
No, that's not the best answer.
who is it that said that he's the worst FBI agent? Because both of them together have got some good ideas. It's a nice theory about the surfing, but then also they staked out for maybe 8 hours and then deduced that they were the guys. It's like,
I mean, he is a terrible FBI agent. Come on, let's be honest. Like he's he may as well paint an FBI like badge on his chest when he goes to like see them at the beach and integrate into the gang. You know, he's just, bless him, but he's just Keanu. Yeah.
That's how you go undercover, isn't it? Tell him your real name.
Yes.
You can tell that it was in the 90s, like, and they didn't have Google.
I thought Johnny Utah was his undercover.
No, it's not. That's his name. And then that's the thing, is that Patrick Swayze knew enough about him that knew that he was like an ex-football player, but didn't know that he was in the FBI.
Stopped following him at that point. My interest in you is gone. I checked the local papers. I mean, don't think about these things too much, because...
No, it doesn't spoil the movie, does it? You know, you can suspend that little bit of belief. It's okay.
Yeah, the script is definitely second to, I would say, the stunts.
I mean, it's wonderfully directed. Like, it's, you know, there are some beautiful shots in it. There really are.
One of the things I really liked is the surf scenes, because I can't surf. I've tried to surf. But it also had, like, the amazing surf shots, but also with Keanu and someone who's, like, learning to surf as well, kind of made kind of think, I'll have a go at that.
And Keanu's still surfing now, apparently. He's took it up as a hobby after this movie, and he's still surfing.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, he learned to surf on the movie, and still doing it now.
I just presumed he knew how to surf.
No, none of them did. Oh, wow. Laurie Petty, Keanu, and Patrick Swayze all kind of went off on surf lessons before the movie started shooting.
See, this is one of the reasons I kind of like to be an actor. I think this is probably the only reason, is that you go off and learn shit. Piano, dancing, like surfing, different languages. The rest of it's a bit... I'm not that big a fan of, but
I mean, I could barely stand up on the best of days, like let alone surf.
I tried skateboarding and that went horribly, so I didn't even try surfing.
You didn't audition for Point Break as a result. Must be willing to learn surfing. Nope.
Sharks. I watched Jaws.
It's quite right in the territorialness of surfers, because if I have been surfing and like if you do kind of like cross someone as they're trying to, then like that is a complete no-no. So you will get your leash cut and a massive punch in the face. Maybe not that, but you will get shouted at.
That was a bit dark, wasn't it?
Yeah, that guy was having a bad day.
It was. Like those angry guys on the in the cars. Should we head to the scores, guys? Or is there anything else you want to say?
I'm just glad we've avoided talking about the remake.
Oh, we should talk about that. Anyone seen it? I have never seen it. I've never even brought myself.
So we've talked about sequels with yourself.
Yeah.
Is there an alternative timeline where it's like a remake podcast?
There definitely could be a Point Break sequel. He definitely could survive that end.
There was one planned.
Was there? Sorry.
But it never materialised.
Okay. Was Birdie planned to come back?
I don't know. I think it's just that Fox had got one planned, but it just never materialised. I mean, there is kind of like technically two remakes, but obviously one is a straight remake, but there is the other one. No spoilers. But
Fast and Furious.
That's the Fast and Furious, yeah.
It's literally the same film, isn't it?
It's pretty much the same film, yeah. But I love that too. So there you go.
Is this where your love for Fast and Furious came from?
Rich? No, I think you talk about... maybe, because I loved Point Break before Fast and Furious, and I just loved cars when I was younger, and I think Point Break with cars, that just, you know, what's not to like?
Well, there's no skydiving, is there? There's no Laurie Petty. There's no surfing.
No, but, there's Michelle Rodriguez, and there's some awesome cars. Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty to love in Fast and Furious.
Well, guys, let's head to the scores.
Hello, I'm Sam Pay.
And I'm Martin Zoltz-Austwick.
And we are the two hosts of a podcast called Song by Song, where we listen every week to a track by the musical artist Tom Waits. You might know him for his gravelly voice. Very nice. His appearance in films, but also his multi-decade spanning career involving blues, jazz, and all sorts of other kinds of experimental music.
So we're basically like a book club for Tom Waits. And if that sounds like your cup of tea, you can find us at songbysongpodcast.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome to the FlixWatcher scores. They're always out of five. You may have decimal places. And we'll start with you, please, Rich, with your recommendability.
Well, I mean, everyone's got to watch Point Break, haven't they? They've got to. I'm probably not going to go full five. I think 4.7, maybe. Just to kind of, you know, leave a little bit of room for manoeuvre.
Dave?
Well, it's iconic, isn't it? I would say Point Break. It's definitely, again, one of the top 50 films you have to watch. And when people say, I like Fast and Furious or whatever, I'm like, you should probably check out the original. It's pretty special. Do you like surfers? Do you like Patrick Swayze? Everyone likes Patrick Swayze. And Keanu Reeves. And if you like people with great hair, it's definitely there to watch. I would say... a 4 for me out of 5.
I was going to say, Helen, as well, we've had Keanu on at least 4 times. We've had John Wick 1, John Wick 2, Parenthood, Always Be My Maybe. So there might be another Keanu film.
Have you done Speed yet? Has that been on?
I don't think.
No one's done Speed. But yeah, it is. It's Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves are high up there in our most repeated actors.
He's done a lot of good films. Devil's Advocate is another one of my popular opinions.
Someone please pick Bram Stoker's Dracula. It is on Netflix. Please pick it.
Is that because you want Keanu to jump over?
I just think it's a brilliant film.
Even the accent?
Absolutely. My love for 90s Keanu is very strong.
He's a very good-looking boy.
What's your score, Helen?
Not surprising, my husband had not seen this, and I recommended we should watch it together, and he said it was very good. So
didn't he say what's Point Break?
Yeah, he did actually. When I said, oh, do you want to watch Point Break? He said, what's that? It's like, okay.
One of those moments you have to think about your life, probably.
tell him about some other films Reese hasn't seen or heard of. Like he's lived in a cave in Wales.
I don't think he's seen Jurassic Park.
That's the one. That's one.
And
holy like, smokes, Batman.
The Terminator is a blind spot.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's fine. We have other interests. It's fine.
I can kind of understand to it because, you know, as an 18 when growing up, I meant to be able to watch it. But Jurassic Park was like the film that everyone went to see.
Mm.
Just everyone went to see that. Everyone in the whole world, apart from Reese.
Yep.
Everyone in the world went to see it.
Has he seen Titanic? I'm just checking because everyone has seen Titanic.
I've only seen bits of Titanic myself.
I haven't seen Titanic. No. Yeah, I know what happens. So, like 20 people sent me the cat Titanic video. So I've seen Titanic.
Plus, you know what happens at the ending, I guess. But
yeah.
I thought like it's the highest grossing picture for so many years.
Didn't take my money.
People watch it multiple
James
times.
Cameron. Fuck you.
We don't want no Avatar.
Yeah.
We don't want no Avatar. You leave Catherine Bigelow alone.
Yeah.
you can have your Aliens and Terminator 2. Nothing else.
Yeah. So I love this film. I love Keanu Reeves in this. Patrick Swayze is really cool and it's by a female director. So a 5 from me.
Brilliant.
Yeah. 4.9. I need to watch this more. This is next score, but it's fabulous. Repeat Vegan score, Rich.
Oh, it's got to be a 5, isn't it? I could definitely watch it. I could definitely watch it regularly. And just like the scene in Hot Fuzz where you know that they've watched it lots of times. Yeah, yeah. I could happily do that.
Dave.
How many people do you think watched Hot Fuzz and then didn't know Point Break and then watch Point Break afterwards, that film?
I reckon
imagine there's a fair chunk of people.
Yeah. And Bad Boys 2
always. And Bad Boys 2 as well.
It was a weird choice for me, but...
It was. I wonder if they maybe went to Michael Bay and said, can we use Bad Boys 1, the better one?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I need some more Bad Boys 2, so can you use that?
I need some money for some more exploding robots. Can you promote Bad Boys 2 for me instead?
I hadn't watched this for years, Point Break, to be honest. I don't know why. It just never really came back on the radar. Very happy you picked it, Rich, because I thoroughly enjoyed it watching again. And I was like, this is brilliant. This is really great. I find it a little bit too long, if I have to be negative. But repeatability, it's very easy to watch because the storyline is quite waffer thin. Once you've bought into that premise, it's very easy to go again and you think, oh, wicked. I'll watch the skydiving bit again. Surfing's always fun. And like I said, Patrick Swayze and Gary Busey and Keanu Reeves, all of them. Yeah, I would go 4.6.
Helen?
Yeah, I think I may have seen it since I've had kind of Netflix because I have remembered watching it fairly recently. So what, in the last like 5 years maybe? And then had seen it quite a few times before then. It's very easy to rewatch, and I think it's still really holds up, and yeah, it's probably a little bit too long, so it's not going to be one I'm going to watch loads and loads, but still pretty strong, so I'm going to give it 4.5 for repeat viewing.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4. It's more for the fact I think I may watch it 3 times, and that's a travesty. And I think, yeah, when I typed in the name, Point Break, and it was like 2 and a bit hours long, I was like, oh. It doesn't need to be that long.
Why can't it be 90 minutes?
It does feel like a 90-minute film, doesn't it? The premise.
Yeah. It feels like it should be a 90-minute film.
When you describe it to your friends what it's about, it's like, it feels like, oh, right, that'd be a cool 90-minute flick. And you're like, oh, that's an extra hour on there.
Small screen score, Rich.
I think it's good. Yeah, it's fine. It's good on the small screen. I would love to have seen it on the big screen, and I never did. So... Yeah, I think it's good on the small screen. I think it works just as well. You know, it's obviously a brilliantly watchable film because I've never seen it on the big screen and I still love it. So, yeah, I think, again, a good, 4.5, I think, for a small screen score.
Dave?
I think this would be better on the big screen. I think these and some of these set pieces. Imagine if they did that in IMAX. Now they probably did it in the remake, and no one give a shit. But
yeah, because it still has to be good in the first place.
Yeah, the story has to be good. I've never seen it on the Biscuit and Eva Rich. I would like to see it if it came back somewhere. Is it like an anniversary screen? I mean,
if they do an anniversary screen, I'll definitely go and watch it.
Yeah, and the soundtrack's pretty cool. It's all pretty cool. I would give it a 4.
Helen?
If you said, would you rather see Terminator 2 on the big screen or Point Break? I'd say Terminator 2, not necessarily Point Break.
True.
I mean, I've only ever watched it on the small screen. Probably far too young to be watching it when I first watched it, when it was on like a VHS. And I'm quite happy watching it on a decent sized TV. So 5 for me.
Yeah, I mean, the soundtrack's all right, but I don't think the score didn't pop out at me. Maybe just the way I was listening to it. Yeah, 4.5. It'd be cool to see in the cinema, but I wouldn't race to see it. I definitely do want to see T2 on the cinema. Engagement score, Rich.
I don't think at any point I looked away from the screen. Like, I don't think, like, despite watching at home and having all the distractions of the dog and the phone and kids running around and stuff, like, no, I was pretty fully engaged in it. And I don't think there's any bit that drifts. I don't think there's any slow bits in it. I was pretty happy with all of it. So, yeah, I think a 4.8 for me.
Dave?
I wouldn't go that high. I find this, I love it, but I feel you can definitely stop it and then come back to it. And they're still surfing or still jumping out of the airplanes. And there's probably too much stuff of you know, Keanu moping around. So engagement, and I stopped it to have dinner in the middle of it. 3.8.
I stopped to have dinner in the middle of it. 3.8?
Yeah.
Helen?
Couldn't, like, watch and eat in fear of, like, all of the action, just, like,
it was like
causing accidental choking.
It was a soup or something. I've got new sofas.
Super new sofas, yeah.
But surely that would be high engagement, because you couldn't eat soup at the same time of watching because you need 100% engagement. Or is that engagement on the soup, not on the film?
Oh, maybe I've attached this at the wrong point. No, I'm going to sit with it. 3.8.
It's kind of, I've seen this film so many times that I don't need to be glued to the screen, and it's not like one of those where you have to kind of work out who the surfers are. You're like, we know who the gang are. We'll just wait for you to catch up on there.
Yeah.
Like, no surprises when it's not those other surfers. So it's one like that. So I'm going to go a solid 4. Like, you have to be engaged in it, but, like, you don't have to be, like, so zoned in that you'll miss things if you blink.
Those other surfers are bad dudes as well. I feel that they got unjustly maligned, because they still had like 6 kilograms of crystal meth. Surely they can do them for something, can't they? In that sting, I don't know. Am I wrong?
I think they were trying to catch the whole point of having someone undercover in there was they were trying to get their bosses, kind of thing.
Yeah,
the next guy up the chain. But yeah, they weren't great guys, were they?
I've got a question. Sorry, as an audience, were we meant to expect the done for were the bank robbers at any point? Because I always thought it was obvious that Patrick Swayze and his crew were,
it's kind of a weird one because it's not revealed until very much later on.
I think it's obvious it wasn't Anthony Kiedis and his guys, but I don't think it was super obvious that it was Patrick Swayze and his guys, because we didn't actually really know that it was surfers that were the ex-presidents, did we? Well,
no, it's just a theory, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'd put the theory in the movie if they weren't kind of...
No, I mean, in terms
follow through on it.
In terms of how movies played out, we knew it was a surfer because that's how the movies play out. But also, there wasn't that ergo sum. It definitely is surfers, 100%. So I don't know. Well, I'm going to go for 4 for engagement score. That gives an overall score of 4.45625.
That's very good.
Very high.
It's very good. It is. It is. Well done. Well done. Not that there's a prize for choosing the highest scoring film, because it's all about discussing them. You'll get your prize in the post, Rich. But yeah, it is high. It is high. So thank you, everyone who's listening. Do follow us on Twitter. We are at FlixWatcherPod. And one of the main reasons to follow us is because we put out a little tweet ahead of recording asking for your opinions. So look out for a tweet like this. We're reviewing Point Break with Dave and Rich from Unequal Sequel. Have you seen it? Tell us your thoughts and your score out of 5 stars for an on-air shout-out on this here podcast. Dave, do you want to read out one of the comments?
Yeah, I can do both if you want. Got one from Alex Elliott at AlexKid11. He said, I watched this as a teenager, which is probably the perfect age. What more could a young boy want? Guns, girls, bank robberies, surfing and skydiving. I watch it now to see a still sane Gary Busey on top form. 4 woes out of 5.
Gary Busey was great, wasn't he? I was surprised again in this rewatch.
You forget how good he was, don't you? Like that and Lethal Weapon. He's proper good on. Also from Lee Thomas at Lee Thomas 5. A 30-year-old action movie that still mostly holds up. Features iconic set pieces, a chili pepper, Dr. Cox, and a hell of a lot of testosterone. Suffers from being overlong and Keanu being the least believable special agent in any film. 3.5.
A few things we talked about there, Lee. We kind of glossed over those pieces there. That's fine. Cheers, Lee.
I definitely agree.
It's when he bought that surfboard and it's just like, that's not even... No, mate, come on. Anyway, guys, can you tell us where we can find you online and say goodbye to the listeners?
Yep, so you can find us in all good pod shops. You can download us from anywhere you get your podcasts from. We are on Apple and Spotify and all those kind of places. And you can also find us on Twitter. We're at Unequal Sequel. You can get us on Instagram. We're at Unequal Sequel. And also, because me and Dave are off of the 90s, we have a Hotmail account, unequalsequel@hotmail.com. You can send us a little email there. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys. And yes, Unequal Sequel on all your podcatcher places. Catch you later, guys.
Thanks for coming on. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K, Wood, Audio. Tell them FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.